Before our lesson, we'll be reading from Book of Joshua, chapter 7, verses 10 through 13, and 19 through the end of the chapter. So the Lord said to Joshua, "Get up, why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I command them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you any more, unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you have taken away the cursed thing from among you." Now verse 19. "Now Joshua said to Achan, 'My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me.' And Achan answered Joshua and said, 'Indeed, I have sinned against God, the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils the beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it.' So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent, was silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Archan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, oxen, and his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Archer. And Joshua said, 'Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day.' So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore the name of that place has been called the Valley of Archer to this day."
Good morning. As we have just read, Achan is Achan. You can see that there is something that he greatly desired. And earlier in the chapter, the Lord made it very clear that they were not to take anything that they had found. But Achan saw something that he desired greatly. We're told there in verse 21 that there was something that really caught his eye. We're told a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels. These were very pleasing to the eyes of Achan, and so he decided that at all cost, he was going to take something that did not belong to him, something that God said that he was not supposed to have. And as a result, when this sin was found out, you find that he was aching a lot more. As everything that he had was taken and brought out, and then began to be stoned. He lost his life because he greatly disobeyed God's command. And we know that Achan perhaps may be like many other people. In fact, I'm sure you might even think about two other examples off the top of your head. One, of course, is that of David. Remember David and Bathsheba? We read about this in 2 Samuel chapter 11. When David saw a woman that belonged to another man, a woman that David was not supposed to have, and yet he inquired who she belonged to, and had her husband killed so that he could have her as wife? Or what about King Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 21? Remember that King Ahab greatly desired a vineyard, but that vineyard did not belong to King Ahab. Instead, that vineyard belonged to Naboth. And when Ahab was so distraught that he could not have what did not belong to him, his wife Jezebel found out, and she went and had him killed so that Ahab could take that vineyard. You see, there is something that perhaps is inside all of us, greatly desiring to have something. And there are things that God said is perfectly fine to have, but then there are other things that are not okay to get, especially if it means the expense of someone or something in the wrong way. And as we look at these examples, we begin to ask ourselves, is there something that I strongly desire that belongs to another? Do I want that so bad to receive it at any or all costs? Is there something that I want even more and more of? And sometimes there are things that I think I want only to realize I didn't want that at all, or maybe that I can never get enough of that. And if that something is taking the place of my desire for God and to do what is right, I've got my priorities in the wrong order. You see, covetousness, in fact, is sin. It is something that causes all kinds of problems. It is something that God clearly said is not something that we should do. When you look back even to the original Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses, you could read the list in Exodus chapter 20 or in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Do you remember what the very last one on the list is? We know it as, "Thou shalt not covet." But there's a lot more stated in this particular commandment. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17, the entire commandment is read thus: "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's." If there is something that belongs to someone else, it is theirs. It is not yours. Therefore, you should not desire the same thing that someone else had. We find also in the prophet Micah, in the book of Micah, chapter 2, there verses 1 and 2, that Micah was pronouncing woe to those that devised iniquity. Why? Because they covet fields and to take them by violence, and they even oppress men. Micah says there are those that want something so badly that they will do anything and everything to get what they want, even if it is at the expense of others. And how then does the Lord feel about this? Well, does he change his mind from the days of Noah till the days of Isaiah, or going back rather to the days of Moses? We find in Isaiah chapter 57, here in verse 17, here's what Isaiah says concerning the word of the Lord. He says, "For the iniquity of his covetousness, I was angry and struck him. I hid and was angry, and he went on backsliding in the way of his heart." He says it caused one to become angry. Covetousness is iniquity. Not only does it create a wrong heart, but it can also create wrong actions. It can lead one to think and to do things that men of God should not do or think. And our actions and our thoughts do not originate on the outside, but rather they come from the inside. And that is exactly what Jesus wants to teach you and me today. Look with me now to the Gospel of Mark. In Mark chapter 7, notice what Jesus taught beginning in verse 21. Mark chapter 7 and in verse 21. Jesus says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness and an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. For all these things come from within and defile a man." If we look back to Achan and realize what was on the inside of him, was it a willingness or a desire to keep the commands of God, not to take the things that did not belong to him? Or rather, was it a little bit of selfishness? Was a little bit of desire for something else that he just had to have at any or all costs? Well, remember his punishment from disobeying the Lord? He died, didn't he? He deserved the punishment because he disobeyed God. And you know, today, the Bible teaches us that if we disobey God, we too are deserving of death. There will come a time in which if we do not do the will of God, we will die eternally, being without God. But that's why God loves us and gives us the chance to turn from doing what is wrong and to doing what is right. But yet we still need to be warned of doing just that. In the book of Romans, the first chapter, you'll recall that there were a lot of things that the Apostle Paul wrote was characteristics of people that would be deserving of death. In verse 28 of Romans chapter 1, Paul said this, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but approve of those who practice them." Imagine that that's the way that Achan was, because he did what was disapproving in God's sight, he was punished. But think now that God loves us so much that he gave us his only begotten Son, that Jesus made it possible that we could repent of those things, that we can turn from the things that we might strongly desire as opposed to turning to Christ. Are you willing to turn to Christ? Am I willing to turn to him? You see, if I'm going to turn to him, there are things that I've got to turn from. And what might it be that I'm willing to turn from? Well, that must be anything and everything. Because if there is anything that comes between me and God, it is an obstacle. It is something to turn from. And in fact, Paul even used a stronger word. In Colossians, the third chapter, here in verse 5, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." He says covetousness is idolatry. If there is something that you want more than wanting God and the things that he has to offer, yes, it is idolatry. And we know what God clearly said about idolatry. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel were not to make unto them any graven image. There must not be another God before them, because there is only one God. And that's what he expects us to do even today. Similarly, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3, Paul says, "With all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints." If I am going to be a saint, if I am going to be a child of God, covetousness cannot even be named among me. I've got to show very clearly that my greatest desire is not to please myself. It is not for the things that I can accumulate that may belong to those of others and I have no right to partake of. Rather, my greatest desire is to serve God. You see, because I want to become a part of the kingdom of God. If I become a member of the body of Christ, the Lord's church, and keep faithfully his commands, not only will I be okay now, but I will have an eternal home in heaven. Just two verses later in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5, Paul went on to say, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." If I continue to practice covetousness, I do not have an inheritance. I cannot be a part of the kingdom of God. And you'll recall that something very similar was mentioned in Paul's letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Again, there he lists several that cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Covetousness is a part of that very group. But what if we practice that? Does that mean then that we will in no way become a part of the kingdom of God? Well, as long as you are practicing this, you cannot. But you can do something about it. He goes on to say in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "And such were some of you, that you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." You see, through Christ, those sins can be washed away. Jesus did his part. He died on the cross that we could be forgiven of our sins. And if we choose to continue living in sin, we're not going to be a part of the kingdom of God. But if we make that choice to say, "I was wrong, God is right, I'm going to repent of those things." And that's what Jesus commands us to do. In Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, Jesus said, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Covetousness is something that I could have done in the past, but it is something I do not have to continue to do. And so if I realize that I need to make a change regarding this, and of course for Achan, by his time it was too late, I can be thankful that I can do something about it. And so then what can I do about that? Well, first of all, it is a very common problem since the days of Achan and David and Ahab and perhaps several others. And we know it is a problem even today. It is something that we need to be aware of. In Luke chapter 12, there in verse 15, Jesus taught us how to be aware. Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Oh, that is a common thought that many people still believe even today. What is life all about? Well, some really think that it's in how much stuff you can get. If you really want to be happy, see how much of something you can have. Too much of a good thing is always a good thing. Have you ever heard that? But is that always true? Absolutely not. I know that there are many, because of physical infirmities, the doctor says you can only take a little bit of something. There might be something that you really enjoy eating, but you don't want too much of that, because we know what that would cause. A lot of us to have health problems. But a little bit of a good thing is a good thing. Life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. That's why you see a lot of television shows of those that hoard a lot of things. And people have to get rid of the mess of things they have accumulated, because it would cause a lot of grief and a lot of problems. You see, if we continue to covet things, it's going to lead to disaster. The words of the Apostle Peter. In 2 Peter in chapter 2, he says this here in verse 3. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. He says there are those that teach false doctrine, and they're going to make things sound really good, and by covetousness, you will be exploited by deceptive words. Because of they think, here is what you want, so that they can gain. Oh, it's always fun to enter into the sales business, especially to meet an overzealous salesperson. Does the salesperson really care about the customer? Well, you would think that a good salesman really would. He would listen to his needs and deliver the right kind of product or service and the right amount that would be a great benefit. But you know, there's a lot that don't really listen. There are those that want to push a lot of things so that they could receive a lot more income. We have to be very careful about that. And that's why later in chapter 2 and in verse 14, Peter says that they have eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. Some people's hearts are trained in covetous practices. Those that always want more and more things, but are not willing to get them themselves in the right way. Well, we need some words of wisdom. How do we get the right thing in the right way? Well, first of all, let's think about what Solomon said. When you go back to the book of wise sayings, the book of Proverbs, there in chapter 21, you find these words of wisdom beginning in verse 25. He says, the desire of a lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. A lazy person wants what he can't have. And didn't Jesus talk about there is a way that we do not receive because we do not ask? And if we ask, we ask amiss. Well, if all we want is what somebody else has, well, do we think that they're ever going to give it to us? Are we going to be like King Ahab and pout when we do not receive what we want? That's being lazy. We should not be lazy, but rather we should get up and do something about that. You know, I may not can get what somebody else has, but if I want something like that, I'm going to go out and not be lazy. I'm going to work. I'm going to do something good and right so that I can receive that which I desire. I believe we talked a little bit last week about seeking and we shall find. It's up to us to do the right thing, to get the right thing in the right way. Well, very similarly, the psalmist said in the book of Psalms, chapter 119, here in verse 36, he says, incline my heart to your testimonies and not unto covetousness. Our heart needs to stray from covetousness, but instead get closer and closer unto God. How would God instruct us? Is there a right way? Is there a wrong way? Well, I believe there is a right way, and that is God's way. Do what God says so we can achieve that which He desires for us. And you know, if I do the right thing in the right way, I will get the things that I seek, and so much more. Solomon also said in Proverbs chapter 28 and in verse 16, a ruler who lacks understanding is a great oppressor, but he who hates covetousness will prolong his days. He who hates covetousness will prolong his days. If we were to think just a little bit about that, if we were to think, if I were to covet something and want what someone else has, I'm not going to do my part to get it, it's going to be very short, isn't it? But what happens when you work? When you do something to get what you desire? Well, don't they say that work is exercise, and exercise is very healthy for the body? Do you think that God knows this very well? Perhaps why in the Garden of Eden, man was given a job to do, while from the beginning and even until now, Christians are commanded to work, to share the good news of Christ with others, and Christians can enjoy a period of fellowship with each other. But those that do covet, Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, to have no fellowship with covetous people. Those that do the wrong practices, we should not fellowship with them. So then, what should we do? We know that we should not covet, but what can we do? Well, the Bible has a very clear answer. An answer that I believe can be found in each and every one of us. The answer is found in Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 5. Let's see what that has to say, shall we? In Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 5, here's what the Bible says. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't covet. Instead, be content with what you have. Even God has said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Just because we don't have anything does not mean that God is going to leave us. He will be with us if we will do what he says. What does it truly mean to be content? Well, one person that can answer that is the Apostle Paul. He teaches us that he knows what it's like to have too much, but he also knows what it's like to be without. And he said, in whatever state I am in, therewith I shall be content. Paul is to be content, to be satisfied with little or much. Are we that way? Do we look to Paul and say, that's exactly how I want to be? But Paul also went the other mile, didn't he? In the book of Acts in chapter 20, there in verse 33, he admits, he says, I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We need to think about giving, not receiving. We need to think about the work that goes along with it. That's what Paul did, and that's what God expects of us. Why do we need to know that even now? Because earlier we've been warned that this day was going to come, that people are going to desire a lot of things more than the things of God. Notice what Paul said especially to the young man Timothy. In his second letter in 2 Timothy chapter 3, notice the warning given here in verse 1. He says that know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. There are those that are going to love themselves, love others, and love things more than loving God. He says, turn away from them. Do not follow after their practices. Perhaps, do you know what the number one thing is that people love the most? Is that of money, isn't it? We often hear that a person wants to get a better job so that they can earn more money. And there are ways in which that is totally acceptable. We need to earn a living and to support ourselves to carry on the work of God. But what if we love money more than loving God? Well, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10 that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Yes, a characteristic of covetousness is that of greed, wanting something so much that it would cause one to turn from God and to turn from other things. Jesus even said that's a characteristic of the Pharisees. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 14, the Pharisees were very covetous. They were very greedy. They wanted others to see what they could do for themselves. They, like many others, loved the pleasure of men more than the praise of God. Is that the way we are? Is that the way we need to be? If we were to summarize, what does it all boil down to? I believe there is a passage that can tell us. In Romans, the 13th chapter, there in verse 9, Paul was reminding the church at Rome about all the commands of God. In addition to thou shalt not covet and all the others that are found, you remember he says they are summed up in this way. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If I truly love my neighbor, I'm going to be thankful that they have what they have. I'm going to be thankful for what I have. I rejoice with those that rejoice. And I also weep with those that weep. I'm going to love them. I'm going to help them. And I'm going to treat them as I would want to be treated. But you know, the most I should love is God. Remember the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't covet them, but rather do what God says to do, and he will give us all things that pertain to life and godliness. This morning we're about to sing a song of encouragement. If there will be one today that needs to respond to the invitation, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.